Good afternoon, brethren. Thank you, Mr. Lee. And it's good to have Mr. Messier with us today, down from Canada. And it's good to see all of you, and welcome to all of you out there who are listening in. It's a nice day here in San Diego. It's overcast. Mr. Link doesn't like that too much, but it's sort of a change for us in this part of the country. And we've had this weather now for about a week or so. And so it keeps the temperature down. And I guess right now it's probably about 70 degrees out there, something like that. And that's not too bad. We're going to be entering pretty soon those summer months when it's going to get up into the 90s, and then we're going to look back on these days and be thinking, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a nice 70-day degree situation. The sermon I'll be speaking on today is titled Ears to Hear. In the summer of 1943, my mom and dad operated a corner grocery store there in my hometown, and my dad also operated a truck, a typical vegetable truck, with which he made rounds each day throughout the various communities of the town, selling fresh vegetables, which he acquired daily from the local farmers market, as the farmers would come in and sell their production for the day to the various distributors. One morning during the month of June 1943, I was making the rounds with my dad. I used to love to get up early in the morning and make that trip to the farmer's market and then make those rounds with him. And since in some of the neighborhoods that he serviced, the stops were frequent so that people could come out of their homes to select their needs of the variety of items that he had on the truck. Each day, I would ride in the truck bed, holding on to one of the corner posts that held the top, which covered and protected the vegetables from the weather and sun and rain and whatever. And on this particular morning, we had just left one stop as my dad approached the intersection where he was making a left turn. I was concentrating on a loose tooth, which was bothering me rather than holding on to that post. And as my dad began to make the turn at the intersection, I fell from the back of that truck and rolled up under the back wheel as the truck entered and went around that intersection. And I was in the hospital for 3 months in a coma most of that time. And my family and the doctors were not sure whether I would survive. Well, as it is now obvious, I did survive that accident. So you're having to listen to me today. But during the 3 months that I was in the hospital, there was a continual draining of fluid from my left ear. It was actually years later, however, when I had the exam which told me that I had lost total hearing in my left ear, or with my left ear, and it's been that way since to this day. I've often wondered what it might have been like if I had lost the hearing of both ears at that time. It's certainly a blessing, brethren, to be able to hear with my right ear. And, of course, to have come out of that coma some 60 years ago this month to be with you today. It's also nice to have my wife here today. She was sick last week, but she has been doing a lot better. Just throw that in there since Mr. Link had mentioned it, and it slipped my mind. You know, I had these moments at the age of 66. from time to time, but we are real happy that she's here with us today. And she is doing much better. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. I understand Mr. Rene Messier's appreciation for all that he and his wife went through, and I'm sure Delia appreciates it very much as well, the fact that God's people are here and praying. And we're all thankful for that. But have you ever considered the tremendous blessing, brethren, to have the ability to hear all the sounds around? Something that most people really take for granted. The sound of a bird singing or a dog barking. And sometimes that can get a little annoying. We've got some dog lovers here. And we all like dogs. A deer moving through the forest. Or water trickling along in a brook or splashing against the seashore. You know, what if you were unable to hear all these sounds that most of us encounter on a daily basis? The sounds of life. What if you could not hear your neighbor's words as he spoke to you? And I've known people, as I'm sure that you have, who are not able to hear with either ear. And some are able with the help of hearing aids, and that's a blessing. I'm certainly thankful for the use of the one good ear that I have, and that I'm able to hear with that ear, even though it's somewhat of a handicap for me at times, especially when my head is turned away from the direction from which the sound is coming. There's an interesting thing about communication. There is the speaking and there's the hearing. And both are needed if comprehension is to be achieved. And even when the communication is through the written word, if we are unable to comprehend what is being conveyed, then there is a lack of understanding. The objective in communication is to achieve comprehension of what someone is attempting to convey. And if someone is speaking to you, you want to be able to hear so as to be able to understand. Paul noted in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 17 that if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now we have five senses, basically, that God has given us through which we obtain knowledge. The Bible is written, is the written word of God. People down through the ages have read this book, studied it, spent countless hours, days, months, years on an individual basis or in group studies. They've gone to seminars. Some have even gone to seminaries, spending their entire life's work trying to understand the words written in this book, and yet have had not 100% success in comprehending the full message of what is revealed here. Many have thought they understood and yet didn't understand. Let's turn to Acts, the 28th chapter, let's begin in verse 23. Paul is being spoken of here. It says in verse 23, "So when they had appointed him a day, So when they had appointed to him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening." In other words, he used the Old Testament scriptures in explaining Jesus Christ and the prophecies concerning the kingdom of God. And some were persuaded by these things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. He's speaking to Jews here. And they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. And so Paul is speaking here to certain Jews concerning the truth of Christ and of God's way. The most of these Jews were not able to hear what was being conveyed because they didn't have ears that could hear what Paul was telling them. Many others had that problem during that time. And brethren, this has not changed even till today. Many have read the words of the Scriptures. They have seen the written word. They have heard these words expounded verbally, but have not understood the significance of what is written. And why is that? Because their spiritual ears, their spiritual comprehension is closed. These words written in God's book, brethren, are spiritual, and they are not naturally discerned. Verse 30, then Paul dwelt 2 years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Now Paul says in speaking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Those things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. There's a phrase that's used in the Bible that all of us are familiar with. We've heard it read and spoken many times. Yet there's something unique about this phrase that perhaps you may never have thought about. The phrase that I speak of is the one which says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The interesting thing is that Christ is the author of these words, and he speaks these words on 7 separate occasions while he is on this earth as a flesh and blood human being. He did this in order to emphasize and call attention to an utterance he had just made in each case. You remember, of course, that the number 7 denotes spiritual perfection, the work of God's Holy Spirit. And when Christ used these words on these 7 occasions, he had begun his earthly ministry. And God, through the power of his Spirit, had begun to open the spiritual understanding, the ears, the spiritual ears of certain individuals called to spiritual discernment. The first occasion where this phrase was used is found in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. This is the first giving of the parable of the sower. And it occurred prior to the formal calling prior to the giving of the commission of the 12 apostles, which took place and is recorded in Luke chapter 9. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Now, this parable of the sower is repeated at a later occasion by Christ, and we'll see that in a few moments. But first, let's turn to Luke chapter 8 and beginning in verse 1. Now, it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered and others had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he seed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the first time that Christ uttered these words. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 9, next chapter over, and begin in verse 1. And let's notice, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staves, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So we see here, after he had given this parable, we see the 12 given power and authority to accomplish their mission. And we see the same event referred to by Matthew. This is the giving of power and authority. We see that event in Matthew and sending the 12 out in Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at that. So we're doing this to get a time sequence, because we know the parable was given, and then here in Matthew 10, we see the same example of him sending them out. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Let's drop down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staves, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will receive you, or will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So we can see this is the same event that we had just read about. It gives a little more detail in this account. Now, the second time Christ used this phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, was in explaining who John the Baptist was, and that's recorded the next chapter over, Matthew 11. Let's begin in verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf or the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments or clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so here the people are admonished to give heed to the important mission of John the Baptist. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. But think about something, brethren, in relation to that event or that situation. For the most part, the people failed to heed that message. The people failed to heed that message. In many respects, Mr. Armstrong, as we know, came with a similar mission. Yet when we look around today, we see that most who were called, while Mr. Armstrong was living, do not give heed to that mission or to Mr. Armstrong today. I think I could add right here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mr. Armstrong said that the commission was one to the church, specifically to the Philadelphia era of the church. Will those brethren who continue in that mission give heed to what God is requiring, even now? See, this is all part of preparing a people for the return of the Lord. That doesn't mean everybody in the world is going to be prepared. There were very few after John that were really prepared to receive Christ. Most of the Jews rejected him. And that's who John was speaking with. But it's all part of preparing a people for the return of the Lord, because God says he has a witness, and we're part of giving that witness. When God called you and opened your understanding to comprehend his truth, he gave you, brethren, ears with which to hear as well. He opened, you see, your spiritual discernment. But do you continue to use that discernment? Do you continue to use your spiritual ears? Many in the time of the apostles did not. The end time church, as we've discussed recently, is very familiar to the church of the time of Paul and of Peter and the original apostles. Christ is saying to you and to me at this time, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we come to the time following the sending out of the 12 to accomplish a mission which Christ had sent them out to accomplish. Christ is speaking, and he begins repeating the parable of the sower to the multitudes who came to hear him teach. This will be the third time he used this phrase that we are discussing. It's found in Matthew 13. So let's turn over to Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And if we go ahead, we can read the rest of that, but let's go down to verse 9. It says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Notice that the time sequence illustrates that this is a different occasion. The last time it was before the apostles were sent out. This time it's after they were sent out. A different occasion than when he gave this parable the first time. Let's read as Christ explains to his disciples why he speaks in parables. Verse 10, it says, And the disciples came to him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. To them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they comprehend or understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And of course, he then goes ahead and explains the parable. You know, Christ continues to teach using parables. In verses 24 through 30 here, he gares the parable of the tares among the wheat. And in verses 31 and 32, the parable of the mustard seed. And in verse 33, the parable of the leaven. And then beginning in verse 36 and going through 43, verse 43, we see an explanation of the tares. Let's look at that one. Verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked ones. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Of course, this occurs after the great white throne judgment period, this time of this being spoken of here. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is the fourth occasion in which we've read this verse, this phrase. And then we go on down through this chapter. Verse 44 is the parable of the hidden treasure. 45 and 46, the parable of the great price. 47 through 50, the parable of the dragnet. And verse 52, the parable of the householder. And Christ taught in parables. As one called of God studies these parables, he is able to come to the understanding that it is not God's purpose. It is not God's purpose, brethren, for at this time for all to understand and to know the mysteries of his truth. But it is his purpose for you to know. He has opened your eyes to hear, and he is teaching you privately in his house, even today, if you are utilizing the ears he has given to you. He will teach the world, brethren, at a later time, in their own time, in their own order. But God is teaching you and me today. The specific event we read about in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, is recorded in Mark's record in Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. And in verses 10 through 20 of Mark 4, there's an explanation of the meaning of this parable. And we're not going to count that recording in Mark since we counted it back at Matthew 13 and verse 9. It's just a repeating of the same event. And so we don't count that one as one of the seven. But we do go ahead in Mark chapter 4, and drop down to verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Notice is a little bit of a difference in the way he says this one this time. Before he says, "he who has ears." In this one he says, "if anyone has ears." But he's talking to people who have been given understanding by virtue of the fact that God has called them and they have ears to hear. And Christ was revealing here things which before had been hidden concerning the secrets of the kingdom, but revealing them to those who have ears to hear. This is the fifth occasion that Christ used this phrase. Now notice verse 24, and he said, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given." If we hear, brethren, if we understand and if we apply what we hear, he says, you'll be given more to hear and to understand. But our admonishment is to hear, because he has given us ears with which to hear. Now the sixth occasion, let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and beginning in verse 14. And again, he uses this little different bit of phraseology here, but he says, "And when he had called all the multitude to him, he said to them, 'Hear me, everyone, and understand. There's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him.'" In other words, anything you eat. He says, that's not going to defile you. "But the things which come out of him," out of the mouth, out of your thoughts, out of things you do, "those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." What is it that makes the difference? What is it about the heart, the mind, the spirit that we need to understand? Do we have the mind of Christ or not? Is Christ and God's spirit working within us or not? Because if it is, the fruit can be seen in our actions, in our deeds, in our relationships with our fellow man. Mr. Armstrong always taught that there are two ways of life extant on the earth today. Of course, this is in the scriptures. There's the way of give, which is the way of love and outgoing concern for our brother. And there's the way of get, which is the way of self-concern and wanting to please the self, over and above everyone else. It's God's way versus Satan's way. The way to get is the way of greed. The way to get is the way of greed. Satan, in his way, had the audacity to try to take the kingdom of God for himself. Yet, brethren, if we are obedient, God has the intent, it will be his good pleasure to give the kingdom to us. If we have a right attitude and approach, if we utilize the help God gives us to overcome our selfish ways, if we allow God's Spirit to direct our steps, he says it is his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." You know, God understands that we have needs, brethren. Let's drop down to verse 30. "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is his good pleasure, brethren, to do that. Our God is a giving God. That is his way. Yet he requires something of us. He requires obedience on our part. We have to have ears to hear in order to be able to do that. But he is our loving Father. He is not going to give us, however, the kingdom if we're not even trying to be obedient to him. But God looks on the heart. That's the key. Are we using our spiritual ears to hear and understand these things and to change our ways to his? The seventh occasion where the phrase was used while Christ was in the flesh is recorded in Luke 14. Luke 14, verses 34 and 35. It says, "Salt is good. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now this parable, brethren, is connected with true discipleship and counting the cost, which we have to do. If we have ears, if God has given us ears, if God has opened our understanding, and yet we are not hearing, what will be the end of the matter for us? We must not lose our flavor. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 13. "You are the salt. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men." And so we're told in Mark, let's turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, beginning in verse 49. "For everyone Listen to this. Everyone will be seasoned with fire. Didn't we just have a sermon on that? The fiery trials that we have to go through. We will be seasoned with fire or with the trials, of the everyday trials that we have. And every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. You and I are living sacrifices, brethren, if we do this thing right, if we are hearing and if we are being obedient and doing God's way. Verse 50, salt is good. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Have peace. That's God's way. God's way is the way of peace. We must use our spiritual ears, brethren. We must be salted as God commands. Now, we have reviewed the seven occasions in which Christ considered it important to use this phrase while he lived as a human being. But you know, later, after he died for you and me, after he had ascended into heaven and went to sit at the right hand of God the Father, Christ returned to the earth, and he appeared in his glorified state before the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, which we read some scriptures relative to that just a moment ago in the first sermon. He projected John in the Spirit ahead to a time in the near future now for you and me, to a time which God refers to as the day of the Lord. And Christ told John to write what he saw. Let's notice that in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 and verse. Let me get to Revelation here. Revelation 1 and verse 19. Christ is speaking to him. He says, write the things which you have seen, John, and the things which you are, which are, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. These are the things that are being revealed in the book of Revelation. Christ had a message to each of the seven eras of the church down through the ages. Instructions to each, and revealing the major problem that would be extant in the church during each of those seven eras. And Mr. Armstrong, I think, has taught us that at the end time, most all of these, and it may have been this way all the time, but most all of these things that we see are problems that we all have. But these were the major problems in each of the eras. These are all instructions, brethren, today for you and me, because this was written for us. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, we see the church in Ephesus. And their problem was they left their first love. Many of God's people today have left their first love. Their admonishment? Repent. Repent. Revelation 2, 8 through 11, the church of Smyrna. It says they were a faithful church. Their admonishment? Be faithful to the death. Never give up. You see, that's what we must do. Revelation 2, 12 through 17, the church of Pergamos. Their problem, some held the doctrine of Balaam. False doctrines. Committed sexual immorality and ate things offered to idols. Their admonishment? Repent. You know, how many of us have done this? You know, we know that we commit things contrary to God. But we are to repent when we see that we have done something. Revelation 2, 18 through 29, we see a similar problem. The church of Thyatira, the problem, they committed sexual immorality and ate things offered to idols. And God admonished them, repent. In Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6, we have the church in Sardis. Their problem? They were dead, though their name indicated they were living. Their admonishment, overcome. Overcome that. Revelation 3, 7 through 13, the church of Philadelphia. You know, this church, they had an admonition. It was hold fast to what you have. Hold fast. Revelation 3, 14 through 22, the church at Laodicea. Their problem, they were neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. Their admonishment was to overcome that. So if we have any of these in our own personal lives, brethren, then we have to listen to the admonishment and make the correction in our lives. You may have realized that in the last verse of each of these messages to the various churches, we find a phrase. That phrase is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what God is saying to the churches. He who has ears, do you have ears? Hear what God is saying to the churches. Christ, remember, is the one who is speaking. This is the second period of time when Christ, at this time, he was a spiritual being. First time he was physical. But the second time that Christ repeated these very similar words, seven times. Seven times two, 14 times Christ spoke these words in the scriptures. It must have been important, brethren, that we heed this command. Turn now to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 8. Here, John is discussing a vision which he had relative to the great beast power, which at this very time is beginning to unfold in the confines of the area controlled by the historical Holy Roman Empire. And this is what he saw. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. See who this is, brethren. This is someone who can be identified based on history, based on what has happened in the past, and the fact that Satan is the one who is dealing with this group, and he has always dealt with this group in this way. These have never been God's people. These are people who walk contrary to God. He said, I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. You may look around today, and most people may not even be able to see that it's there, but brethren, it's there. And when Satan begins to do his work, and when God steps back and allows it to happen, the world is going to be astounded. And yet people look around today, they say, well, there's no one got the power except the United States of America. But we know who the United States of America is. It can't be the same. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Hasn't happened yet. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. and notice John's admonition to all who have ears to hear. Verse 9, if anyone has ears or an ear, let him hear. John had heard Christ give this command 7 times to him. He considered it important enough to repeat it himself to those who have spiritual ears. Brethren, we don't know what trials lie ahead for us, individually or as a group. We don't know what will be required of us physically. But we know this. God is a merciful and a faithful God, as we heard in the earlier sermon. He has said He will not put on us more than we can bear. And if we have spiritual ears at this time and are using those ears to hear and are obedient to God based on His instructions to us with the help of His Holy Spirit, then God promises to deliver to us the kingdom. And that, brethren, is worth hearing for. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.